Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Plan Change 120, a new plan that seeks to allow for up to 2 million new dwellings in high-density zones across mass rapid corridors in Auckland, is currently up for public consultation. Although hotly contested during the election period, it seems as if the city is on its way to unlocking high-density developments and a strengthening of its urban landscape against natural hazards like flooding. I talked to Councillor Julie Ferry today about the consultation process, how people can get involved to have their say, and what they should know about the plan change as well. I also talked to her about the process of going from being a candidate to actually starting a role in council, what the inauguration process looks like, and how the Auckland Council building feels as new councillors settle in for their term. Tell me a little bit about what's happened since the last time we talked about Plan Change 120. Is it open for consultation for the public? Is there anything that people should be aware of? Yeah, where are we sitting with that?
Yeah, so the main thing with Plan Change 120 at the moment is that it opened for public submissions on Monday, so Monday the 3rd of November, and it is open until the 19th of December. That's a longer period than usual, and that was something that Council asked for government to sign off on, and they did agree to. So there's a lot of information available on the council website. Basically, if you put PC120 Auckland Council into Google, you'll find the right pages. But it can be quite difficult to digest. So I'm working on some stuff that hopefully will help people to understand it a bit better. What you're looking at is maps, and there's five different maps for each local board area, which kind of tell the story of what's proposed for that land. So you'll see lots of colours that represent different zonings, so different rules that apply for different pieces of land. In general, stuff that's like a creamy colour through to orange is for residential housing, and that's where some of the biggest changes are. So enabling, particularly around train stations, town centres and public transport routes, enabling for more housing to be built, so a darker orange colour than the current rules, the old unitary plan allow. And then you'll see there's those colours are across all five maps, but you'll see each map has other things overlaid over the top of it. So it might have volcanic view shafts and trees on one map, and another map will have flood areas, and another map will have here's where the heritage buildings are and the special character areas. And all of those overlays add rules on top of the underlying rules for each zone. Hopefully that made sense. The rules are captured in these quite long technical documents. And hopefully we've got some explainers that should either already be up there or are coming soon that make that easier to understand. So there's public meetings coming up for people to learn more about it. Me and some of my City Vision crew, we're going to be at a range of community events. People want to have a chat, and we'll be putting that up on the City Vision social media over the next few days when you can come and talk to us to understand it better. The key thing to know about a submission is that this is not like a normal council consultation where you can say things like, you know, I like it or I don't like it, and that will potentially carry some weight. Submissions need to be more detailed and need to sort of make a case a bit, not necessarily a lot, but for example, if you're wanting to say, hey, I really support there being more rules that allow apartments around a train station, then you want to explain why you think that's a good idea a bit, okay? And rather than just sort of leaving it at that. So you've got, there's actually plenty of time to make submissions. It's open for, I can't remember if that's 6 weeks or 7 weeks, and we're partway through the first week, so you've got time to talk to people, get some advice, digest the information, do a draft. I've got lots of emails people have sent me saying, hey, can you help? I haven't had a chance to reply to those yet, but I will be. So, you know, take your time. Don't feel like you have to rush, and think it through and think about how do I make an effective submission, because the people reading these are not going to be your councillors and your local board members. They're actually going to be independent commissioners who are experts in resource management and planning and city development. And so they're bringing a different perspective to it. So hopefully that's a little bit helpful. And I'm hoping in the next few days to be able to sort of put some more information out there that says, okay, here's some stuff, like I'm looking at doing a webinar that talks through it and explains it, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's the time to have your say, but also to think carefully about how to do that so that it's as effective as possible. Yeah.
One of the key promises, I suppose, of Plan Change 120 is strengthening Auckland's urban landscape to deal with natural hazards, particularly flooding. How does, you know, the proposed densification and other changes that this plan make actually enable that to happen?
So one of the things about the intensification is, and I'm not sure we've quite got this balance right, so people's submissions on this point will be particularly useful, is trying to make sure that we're putting, we're planning for more housing to go in areas that aren't flood prone. And that means that in the areas that are flood prone, we can do what's called downzoning. So we can say less development is allowed on this land than currently. And on top of that, there's also, I mentioned before, one of the sets of maps has the floodplains. The flood-prone areas, and you'll see them sort of represented as blue blobs on the map. Under those blue blobs, under Plan Change 120, there's some extra rules that apply. It's referred to as E36, so it's if you're looking for it in the documents, if you put E36 in, you'll come across it, and it's a significant strengthening of the rules for any flood-prone land. That means it becomes much harder to get a resource consent to increase development on that land, put more housing on that land, without taking into account the flooding risks and designing specifically with the aim to not just make sure any development on that land is safe from flooding, but also that it doesn't make flooding worse for the surrounding neighbours as well. And that's a big step forward. We didn't have that before. If people remember, we were choosing between another plan change, Plan Change 78 and Plan Change 120. Plan Change 78 didn't have that in either. And so that's a really big step forward. And those rules, most of the stuff in Plan Change 120 won't take effect until the end, which is probably in about 16 months' time from now, until it's all adopted and signed off. But the E36 rules actually took effect from Monday. So they took effect early because we don't want a situation where people with land that's under floodplains rush out and get resource consents when we know that that's not necessarily going to be safe. So we needed to make those rules apply immediately so that that doesn't happen. So those rules are very focused on basically real site-by-site stuff that recognises that actually in some cases you could develop this land safely and in ways that reduce stormwater and flooding risk for the whole neighbourhood, but that needs to be done site-by-site. And so that's a conversation that happens when people apply to develop the land through a resource consent. So you won't see that reflected on the zoning maps, but it is there in the rules. And it means that if you have land that's under one of those blobs, you're going to have to develop it through a conversation with council that's very, very thoughtful and focused on making sure there's no risk to flooding to the people who live on that land in the future, and it doesn't make it worse for neighbours as well. So that's a really big, significant change, and one of my main motivators for supporting Plan Change 120 in the last vote we had.
To switch slightly, and perhaps because we've got quite a bit of content on Plan Change 120, which is great, like I think people need to hear this. I was wondering if you could give me maybe a high level quick summary on what happens after a local election is complete. I heard you've, you know, new councillors are being inaugurated. They had an inauguration last week. They're, you know, everyone's been in democracy class, sort of learning the ropes of council. So what happens after an election? How do we transition from election mode to governance mode?
Yeah, it's a really kind of weird time because you've just had this period where you've been out there focused on communicating what you do and convincing people that you should keep doing it, or that you want to do it and they should let you do it. And suddenly you do have to sort of switch modes to, okay, now I actually have to do it. And what's happening at the moment for both for your councillors and the mayor, so the governing body who do the regional stuff, and also for each of the 21 local boards and council who are responsible for the local decision making, so your local parks and community facilities and community grant programs, is that basically we sort of go through a couple of weeks of we get a legal induction. There's a whole lot of legal stuff that we have to be briefed on under the law, and so we have to do that. We get little workshops on how do council's finances work, what staff support can we access, and this is available for new members as well as returning members. I personally go to as much of this stuff as I can, even though I've been doing it for a little while, because you always learn new stuff, and also things change. So, for example, we've had a computer system that we used behind the scenes to manage all of our board papers and stuff, and they've brought in a new system for that that should make it easier for us and easier for the staff, but also, once we get it all up and running, will make it much easier for the public to be able to access our agendas and the information that we're looking at when we make decisions, and also easier for them to see the minutes and stuff for the decisions that we have made. So that's, we're all getting trained in that. Moving into offices, we all the councillors, even if you're standing for re-election, you have to pick up your office at the end of the term in case you don't get re-elected. And also they move us around and they do a big steam clean and stuff like that. So I'm working out where I put things back up on the walls and in the office and things like that. And then you also got a new team, right? So whether you're a local board or a councillor, you're working with some new people. And so, for example, the councillors yesterday, we had a session with an external governance consultant to sort of go through, okay, what's best practice? How are we going to work together? What does this look like? Now, we've got five new people in the mix, which means five people we've worked with for 3 years are gone from that mix. So it's a different dynamic. And so each local board is doing that too, working out who's going to be the chair, who's going to be the deputy, you know, what are the different roles that we need to make sure we share around the team and stuff like that. So it's a really interesting time. The constituent queries keep coming, especially about the plan change stuff. But we're not meeting formally, and the new committee structure is hopefully coming out today for the governing body. But we have meetings next Tuesday and the following Tuesday. But most local boards, after they do their ceremonial inauguration, which we're about halfway through at the moment, they have their first official meeting either late November or early December, where they really start to get into their business in a public way. But they're having workshops and discussions behind the scenes as well. So, yeah.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry on Plan Change 120 and transitioning from campaigning mode to governance mode.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.